When I use the phrase, the good old days, what do you think of first? Our Old Testament reading for today catches the prophet Isaiah doing a little reminiscing. Back in the good old days, God used to rescue His people from their enemies in dramatic ways. In the good old days, for example, God would divide the sea so that people could walk through on dry ground and then close it back up on their enemies who were pursuing them. In the good old days, God would sponsor contests with other gods and then send fire down from heaven to prove His point. Things were better back then, or at least more obvious. Isaiah felt that the time was right for God to do His thing again. And so he says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known among your adversaries, that the nations might tremble at your presence." Can you relate to this spirit of prayer? After all, now, as then, things are terribly wrong. The world is filled with incredible, almost insurmountable problems. The forces opposed to God's word and God's people are powerful and persistent, and they are wearing us down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down the way you used to come down to rescue your people, the way you used to do it in the good old days. Set a fire. Cause the mountains to shake. Establish your justice, O Lord. Crush the evildoer. Sounds good, doesn't it? Wouldn't that be satisfying? And yet there's an old saying, be careful what you wish for, and you just might get it. And that can be said about prayer as well. You see, what's wrong with the world is not just out there, but also in here. The selfishness, the greed, the envy and lust, the thirst for power, the willingness to take advantage of your position to do what you want, it's all as alive in us as it is in the world. Oh, we can dress it up. We can camouflage it and disguise it. To be candid, I can justify my own behavior with the best of them. But God sees it. It's all the same to Him. Sin is sin. Evil is evil. Wrong is wrong. Guilt is guilt. And so it's almost as if Isaiah catches himself in the middle of this prayer and begins to realize the implications of what he's praying for. If God were to tear open the heavens and come down here and execute perfect judgment against the evildoer, there'd be no one left. It's striking how drastically the tone of Isaiah's prayer changes. It's about halfway through, if you go back and look. It's like he comes to his senses. He goes from begging God to execute dramatic justice like he used to do back in the day to a humble, heartfelt confession of personal and corporate sins. In other words, he's no longer talking to God about them, but about us. He starts saying we and our a lot more. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. Something happened in Israel's history when God disciplined His people as a loving father disciplines children to get them on the right track. They sinned all the more. Isaiah says it like this, Behold, you were angry and we sinned. The more God disciplined them, the more they turned away. And over time, their hearts became harder and harder. And Isaiah says, In our sins we have been for a long time. And so I must ask, is there a sin you've been in a long time? So long that you may have a hard time even seeing it as sin. Or, different perspective, is there something God wants you to begin? You know He wants you to begin. But you've been resisting. You've been blocking Him. You've been putting it off for a long time. We are being warned by Isaiah that our hearts can harden when we leave things unaddressed. What's the way forward? It is repentance. It is confession. Isaiah says, There is no one who calls on your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. You've hidden your face from us, have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. The language is so vivid, it makes me wonder if we could maybe import this into our worship. Behold, you are angry, and we sinned, and in our sins we have been for a long time. We've become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We all fade like a leaf, our iniquities like the wind. Take us away. There is no one who calls on your name who rouses himself to take hold of you. You have made us melt in the hands of our iniquities. Now there's a confession of sins. But then Isaiah does something that we have to notice. We can't leave here today without catching this. He appeals to God's faithfulness and mercy. Because Isaiah then prays, But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please, we are all your people. Isaiah's prayer proceeds from faith, and it's a beautiful faith. A beautiful faith, hopeful of God's fatherly, tender love. For all his wayward kids. And did you know? God answered Isaiah's prayer with a bold yes. When the time was exactly right, he did rip open heaven and come down. And when he came down, he started healing the sick, curing the diseased, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, legs to the lame, simply by the sound of his voice and the touch of his hand. And he cast out demons by the power of his name. He walked on water and calmed the storm. Commanded the fish to fill all those nets, and you can imagine Isaiah saying, Now that's what I'm talking about. He even called dead people out of their graves, and they were alive and well. But all of that was just sneak preview. The most dramatic demonstration of His power was when He, the Creator of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, humbled Himself and became a servant, giving Himself over to be mocked and then crucified. He's just doing what Isaiah asked. God was asked to rip open heaven and come down and execute judgment against the evildoer. So that's exactly what He did. Justice demanded the punishment of the evildoer, but in an amazing twist, Jesus put Himself in the evildoer's place. All of God's anger against sin was exhausted on His Son. And Jesus' actions still, to this day, have the effect of stripping off our polluted garments and replacing them with the perfect righteousness of Christ. God answered Isaiah's prayer with a resounding, bold yes. So Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the gentle king, as we heard in today's gospel lesson, riding in there to wear the crown, a crown of thorns for us. And Jesus still is doing the same thing. He comes to you and me today riding in on bread and wine, delivering forgiveness of sins with His body and blood. And we know that at the last day, He will rend the heavens and come down in the fullness of His glory, riding on the clouds with all of His angels to render His final judgment and make all things new. The good old days have nothing on what is to come. Would you pray with me? Stir up Your power, O Lord, and come, that by Your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by Your mighty deliverance. We thank You for answering this prayer in Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen.